Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hello and welcome to Chicks Talking Footy. Well, we are Chicks Talking Sports more broadly over the next few weeks, but today we are Chicks Talking Footy because it was the AFL Women's Competition National Draft. I'm Danae Gibson and I'm a docker and I'm joined by a bomber and...
A tiger.
So
but we have names too.
Yeah, go ahead.
Three.
Susanna or Motti, as I'm known.
As we like to call you.
Yes.
Motti, did you see any of the AFLW National Draft?
I did. And, you know, it's incredibly exciting. You know, 145 names were being called out. So what it sort of what I loved about it is there's 145 names coming up into the, you know, the top echelon, mm-hmm. which means there's 145 spaces for other people to come up under it and to really grow the whole league and the feeder clubs and all that.
But that's a good point.
Pretty sort of... dry, I'd say. You know, they get up, the team read out who they want and things like that. And, you know, a bit similar to how the guys do it.
There's only so many ways you can announce new players to new clubs. Mm. Safe to say they were all very excited,
oh,
weren't they?
Oh, my goodness. 145 names, 145 new stories. Exciting stories. Yeah. They're really excited. And I just love the whole concept and just so many good stories too.
Well, there's a bunch of names that we've become quite familiar with over the last few months of Chicks Talking Footy. The marquee players, I mean, Daisy Pearce, you know, everyone knows Daisy Pearce.
My mum knows. Hope and Katie Brennan and Mel Hickey and all that sort of mob.
Yeah. And Cecilia McIntosh, who was our first guest as a player on Chicks Talking Footy, a Melbourne mugger, is now a pie.
A pie on the same team as Mo Hope.
I think that's fantastic.
It's so fantastic.
So now finally Cecilia doesn't have to stop Mo from kicking goals. She can just cheer her on from the other end.
Oh, she'll be very thankful for that.
Hopefully she's passing the ball to her somewhere inside 50. Yeah.
Tell me what's the age range? Do either of you guys know the age range between the people drafted? You know, is it 16 or 18?
Well, I know Cecilia's 37.
Awesome.
And for instance, Deanna Berry is 18. So there'd be a number of 18-year-olds, I suspect.
Yeah, that's quite a variance, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's older than Happy Birthday, Sam Mitchell, but we'll get to you later on. I had a chat with Shiloh Curtis today, and until very recently she was the AFL Victoria Female Football Development Manager. So she knows all these players really well, and she's been around for 10 years. And I asked her to pick a few players we might not know much about yet or who might have surprised in the draft. And she said that Deanna Berry, who went to Melbourne at number 9, was a little higher than she thought it might have been. That Deanna is a promising forward who's a four-time All-Australian player already at 18. 18.
Wow.
Isn't
any
that
wonder pick 9.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Gab Pound was pick 30 for Carlton.
That's my team. Do you have a team? I've got a team. Mm-hmm. I'm going for the Blues.
So Bree is a Tiger, but she's chosen Carlton.
That's right.
That doesn't seem right, though, does it?
It sits okay with me. I'm buying a membership for the women's Blues team.
Have you had to sort of have deep discussions with psychologists about whether you could do that and adopt another team?
No, I've got a couple of mates who follow the Blues, so happy to adopt the women Blues team as mine.
Cool.
Well, I'm Bulldogs. I've already got the scarf.
Oh, good ones.
Yeah, I bought the scarf at, at the match at the Witten Oval between
the last
the
exhibition
All-Stars,
game.
The exhibition. And they've got, unfortunately, they've got pink tassels on it, which I think was probably unnecessary. But
I think so.
It's got Western Bulldogs on one side and then it's got, you know, Western Bulldogs female team on the other side, which is great. But the pink tassels, I'm going to cut them off.
Yeah, cut them off. Yeah, do what
Fair
you
enough.
Like.
Yeah.
And you're a docker.
I am a docker and I'm super excited about the Fremantle list as it builds and I become more familiar with it. including I follow Bounce Down and Beyond on Twitter, and they gave me great insight. Brianna Green can teach the whole league how to tackle Fab in an under player. Congrats to her. She's an East Fremantle Shark, which is my actual local team, as well as the Dockers. So I'm totally on Brianna Green's side already. But your team, Western Bulldogs, Motti, pick 44, Hayley Wilds, is an inside midfielder with a great engine, elite skills and decision making, a big game player, according to Shiloh.
That's what we need.
And one last one for Melbourne, pick 105. Remember, there were 145 named today, and it took some time, I can tell you. She's a tall key forward who's only played a year after a strong showing in her school team at MLC, and she has good hands and good skills.
And what's her name?
Jess Anderson.
Jess Anderson.
She'll be a power forward.
We'll keep an eye out for her. It's, I mean, that's the exciting thing. I think you said it, Bree, when we opened, that all these stories, we're going to just, we don't know them now, but they're going to all unfold over the next couple of months. We hope to talk to lots of people in here, don't we?
And I had an interesting question, which we're talking off air. Now that we've got our draft, we've had our draft and we've got our teams, it's going to be interesting how they spread the talent when new teams come into the competition.
Well, there were hundreds of young girls and women who put up their name for drafts, so there's still plenty of talent out there.
And we should say that there's some free agency spots still to be filled, aren't there, on each of the lists.
And so they've just kept little holes, have they, in case people pop up in the next month or two? Is that what that...
I think there's a few weeks before they have to have their list complete. Yeah, because pre-season training starts for them very shortly.
Soon. So do you think they're going to do a trade?
Ooh,
is that what that free agency is about, do you think?
I don't know. I don't know.
It's exciting. Can't wait to hear more about it.
Yeah. Oh, well, speaking of trade, Motti, Bree, Tiger and Bomber, take it away. Tell me all about...
This is like our Christmas.
Isn't it? Love it.
Well, when you don't play finals regularly, you kind of look forward to trade period, don't you, Motti?
You do. And also, it's very odd, you know, when Bree said a couple of weeks ago, oh, I love trade, and I went, so do I. And you just feel less of a dag because you find someone else who likes it as much as you.
Well, so. I am a self-identified sports tragic, but, you know, trade period does not excite me at all. So I'm going to ask you the obvious things, including what is going on with Sam Mitchell, best and fairest for Hawthorn this year, 34 years old today, and apparently going to the West Coast Eagles. Is that a real story?
It is, and it's kind of come out of nowhere.
Except his mouth.
Yeah, except his
except
mouth.
He said it.
Yeah, he dropped it. And I think it sounds like a smart decision. I mean, he's 34 years old. He obviously wants to start his coaching career. He's already qualified level 3 coach.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realise that. Okay.
And he's good mates with Adam Simpson. So... he's going to clearly transition from player to coach, and I think his children haven't started school yet, so I think a move would be right time for him to go interstate. And, I mean, you know, it's probably a good move for Hawthorn as well. Free up some salary cap and allow them to get in a Jager O'Meara. They've already landed Tom Mitchell today.
Yeah. Wonder if he gets the number 5.
That's what I
Guernsey.
Thought.
It just goes Mitchell, because then all the people who've got Mitchell on the back for the number 5, still got Mitchell.
Gee, the fans must be really upset, though.
Yeah. But, you know, I think I just think the way, you know, we just said before that he said it. He said it on SEN this morning. And I think that's just very straight up.
Yeah.
And I think people appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Rather than a bit of cloak and daggers. Bryce Gibbs has been a bit more sort of, you know, not on hand, but just a bit more slippery. Mm. Whereas the Hawks have just come out and gone, yep. That's what's happening.
But that's how
how they work.
That's how they work. Swans are a bit the same, you know. Okay, Tom Mitchell wants to go. What can we get for Tom?
Like, well, guess who's already got the deals done?
Mm. Yeah,
Swans and Hawks. You know, Ty Vickery's already going.
Yep.
Or gone, you know, long gone.
I actually thought that compensation pick was quite good, 26 for Tykes.
Yeah.
So that's second round. So that's second round. It's a high second round. It's pretty good.
Yep.
Tom Mitchell, as we said. So Cam McCarthy, which a deal didn't get done between GWS and Frio last season, so he sat out the season. He also had some personal things that he wanted to address, so it gave him that opportunity to do that. But now he's with Frio and tweeting all day today, and there's pictures of him in Nat 5, you know.
Yeah.
He's delighted to have got to where he wants to go.
If we possibly had a key forward, that would be awesome. Anyway, enough of Fremantle, because yeah, I could talk about that
you
all
get,
night.
But if you get Cam McCarthy and then you get Kirsten from Geelong, that's Pav and Main out and those two in, who are
plus
10 years younger.
Absolutely. And plus, you've really only slipped in the draft from pick 3 to 7.
Yep.
So I think that's a really good deal. Daniel Wells went from North Melbourne to Collingwood. What is going on with Collingwood's list strategy? What are they doing?
He's 32 and they've signed him for 3 years. And Chris Mayne's, he's got to be, what, 30?
No, not yet.
No, so he's 180-odd games. So
29,
say. Yeah. They've signed him for 4 years. And you think, wow, okay.
Is this a product of where we think Buckley is? Is Buckley... Because the coach would have to sign off on these recruits. I mean, is their strategy in line with a coach who's trying to coach for his career? Is what I'm saying.
Oh, like, to get more wins.
Well, he has to make finals next year. It's finals or bust, really, for Buckley.
Well, the thing, I mean, you know, they've lost Swan, so they really need to do something big. And they need someone to replace. So those two probably reasonably okay. I think just the Jago Amira thing, dodgy. He hasn't played. He's barely played for 2 years. He's got, you know, terrible. He's had terrible injuries. I don't know that I'd be rushing to get him.
It's always tricky to recruit players that have been injured for a while.
He might come through the draft to Essendon, though. If they don't get the deal done, Essendon got first pick.
Well, we could talk about Essendon and the players' appeal to the Court of Arbitration for Sport failing, but we won't. Because
it failed and it's sort of full stop now, isn't it?
Well, and because it's almost sidelined by the other good news of the week. Are you listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9 with a Tiger, a Bomber and a Docker? That's Bree, Moddy and Danae. And up next, we'll be chatting with Danielle Warby, ahead of the Sports Writers Festival. Well, sports fans, it might surprise you that it took until 2015 for the first Sports Writers Festival to be staged in Melbourne. Thankfully, sports journalist and broadcaster Frances Leach filled the obvious gap in my calendar with a kind of small event with a few speakers. And this year, Leach has again assembled an array of talent, and the event is building in size and reach. It opens on Friday night with Martin Blake's oration on politics and sport, which would be very interesting. And a number of panels will address a range of issues, including Monday night's panel about the rise of women's sport, opportunity or opportunism. The panel will include Angela Pippos, Karen Lyon, Chloe Sautel, and our guest on Chicks Talking Footy tonight, Danielle Warby. Danielle is founder and editor of Sporting Sheilas, which has helped me find out the latest news about women's sporting teams like the Southern Stars and the Matildas, when mainstream media simply wasn't doing the job. Danielle is an advocate for women in sport, working with athletes, sports organisations and the media. I guess that includes us. Recently, Danielle was editor of Zila, SBS's website dedicated to women in sport. G'day, Danielle.
G'day. How is everyone?
We're great. Thank you.
So we're a bit excited because of the draft today. And you've been an advocate for women in sport for a long time. So what's your take on the title of the session you'll be participating in on Monday? What does a rise of women's sport mean in this context?
Yeah, well, I mean, I have been in this space for a while, since about 2006. And, you know, I do feel that we're definitely, I guess, hitting the crest of a wave. We've got so much happening, obviously, with AFL starting in 2017. We had the T20 cricket, the Big Bash, starting last year, and that's continuing this year. You know, the W League's been going for 9 years, the WNBL for 38 years, I think, is quite phenomenal. And so you're starting to see a bunch of other sports as well, which are traditionally dominated by men, like rugby league, for example. The Gillaroos, the national team, were finally paid to go represent Australia for the first time a couple of years ago. So there's a lot of positive change happening in the space. And so for me, seeing that support continue and grow is fantastic, and I think that's definitely what we're going to be talking about. However, to be a negative Nancy, there's been a rise of reporting on women in sport in terms of volume, but in terms of percentage of airtime, it's actually declined. So while there's been more women in sport are being talked about, more men are also being talked about because of new media, et cetera, et cetera. So we still have a long way to go. So it's both a positive and, I guess, a warning to kind of that we need to keep up the fight, because otherwise we're just going to go back down again. It's been quite cyclic in history. You get this rise in women's sport and then it drops right down again. So I, for one, am very keen to see it continue on an upward trajectory.
That's interesting that you say it's increased in volume, but basically so is the men's. Is there an area where are we reporting on women's sport more in social media or different platforms?
Oh, absolutely. I started an independent website back in the day and others have followed suit since. And that's really the exciting space for me and to my mind, is all of those independent content creators, you know, who are basically fans like us, who have gone out and taught themselves how to report on sport, how to build websites, how to take advantage of social. And they're really the people, I think, that have been driving this change. And, you know, with the change in the media landscape, traditional media is struggling. I think it's actually an opportunity to see sites like this continue to grow and to sort of, you know, take on that responsibility to go further. I'm reluctant to sort of say that it's going to happen with, say, Fox Sports or, you know, any of the other major sort of news channels. I kind of feel like, you know, because they're struggling so much, they're going to revert actually to the old ways, I think. I don't think they're going to try anything exciting like women's sport. So, I mean, they might jump on board that train, and that's where the opportunism, I guess, comes into play. But unless they fully dedicate to it and put resources into it, they're just going to sort of stick their toe in and then go, oh, well, it's not bringing us in, you know, the big numbers, because it won't initially. Mm. And I think, you know, it'd be interesting to see whether they, you know, fully invest or whether they just go, oh, we'll give it a go. Oh, look, funny enough, it didn't work. And we'll back away again. So that's kind of, I'm excited but skeptical.
Fair enough. Danielle Bree here. So you've written about homophobia in women's sport and say that tackling homophobia in sport requires us all to equally tackle sexism. What do you mean by that?
Yes. Well, I think what it actually comes back to for me is stereotypes that, you know, basically that big, burly, blokey blokes play sport and big, butch lesbians play women's sport. And so there's this idea that, you know, sport is, a masculine pursuit in and of itself. And I think that's alienating to both men and women. Yeah. I think, there's this idea that you have to be a certain kind of guy to play sport. And you'll see, you know, the Sydney Convicts are a rugby club. They come out and say, well, look, we can be, you know, gay men and be burly men and play sport, which I think is, you know, also feeding into that stereotype as well. So, I think it's what we need to actually do is embrace diversity in sport, whether it's diversity of gender or sexuality, but also diversity of representation. I think with women's sport in particular, we have an opportunity to highlight the diversity of our athletes, whether they be ranging from, you know, your typical, stereotypically feminine and, pretty girls right down, across to, butch women, and we've got a lot of intersex athletes. I think it's very important to show that diversity and go, well, you don't have to be, you know, a particular type of athlete to participate in sport. And I think, you know, smashing those stereotypes and those boundaries is, you know, important and a real opportunity.
So when we talk about homophobia in sport, there's a lot of talk around gay men coming out in mainstream sport. Why do we expect a stage-managed event when the men come out?
Well, yeah, it's interesting because not many men have come out, and particularly in team sports, there's this idea that, you know, if a man, a gay man comes out, it's going to be somehow damaging to team morale. Well, I can tell you right now, if there's a gay man on your team, they all know it. You know, I think it's not anything that's really that big of a secret anymore, but it's just because men's sport is such a sort of media managed and, you know, so much money tied up in it, the people that sort of control that, whether it's their media managers or it's the sports themselves, want to portray a certain image, and they don't feel that that they want to actually say, oh yeah, we have a gay guy on the team, and that's to their detriment, in my opinion, because, you know, society has moved on. It's time for these dinosaurs that run the sports to move on as well.
Sounds great, Danielle. Now I'm on board with that. Now Malty here, or Susanna. So I've got a question. Hi. About how important do you think it is for women to be involved in the coaching and the governance of girls and women's sports? Would you like it to see it more dominated by women at those levels?
Definitely. You know, there's a bit of a problem at the moment where women's sport is seen as a stepping stone for male coaches, and there's not actually enough encouragement of women, of female coaches. You know, there's only one club in, I guess, the W League, which is, you know, football, the real football, sorry guys, soccer, you know, that is always been coached by women. And that's because it's been, you know, the proactive activity of the CEO of Capital Football. And yet, you know, you don't really see, like, you see a lot of female coaches actually with the qualifications, but they often lack the experience, or they're not given the opportunity to have that experience. You know, in my mind, the promotion of women in sport includes coaches and administrators and officials, so everyone should benefit. And I mean, you know, with something like the W League, it's very, you know, all the referees, for example, are women, and the Lions people are women. I'd love to see the same thing happen with the AFL, so that it gives, you know, female referees an opportunity that didn't exist previously, because it's very hard to break into the men's game if you're a woman in that area. And it hurts me to see that they take the opportunity away from women with the women's game as well. So that's something I'd like to put to the AFL, is to, I hope that they're considering, you know, bringing up referees and lines people, or whatever you call them.
Umpires.
I don't know. Umpires, sorry. Yeah. Sorry, guys. I'm not a huge AFL fan, even though I did sign up for a foundation membership with the GWS Giants. So,
very good.
but I've got to learn a few rules and a bit more terminology.
We'll teach you.
Yeah, we're happy to teach you. We'd love to talk with you some more, Danielle, but we can't tonight. We're really happy that you could have a chat with us, and we're looking forward to seeing you on Monday night at the Sports Writers Festival.
Yeah, we'll all be there. So, yeah, we'll catch up on Monday.
I look forward to meeting you.
Thanks so much for talking with Chicks Talking Footy.
Thanks,
good
Danielle.
Good night, Danielle. Thank you.
Thank you.
Danielle Warby is a foundation, Greater Western Sydney Giants member. Good on her. And today they had number one in the NAB AFL Women's Draft. Nicola Barr is a Giant now.
We should congratulate all the women that have been selected today, and we'll just quickly read through the first round that were drafted today. So Brisbane Lions, with their first pick, chose Emily Bates. And Carlton chose Bianca Jacobson. And then the Dockers had their pick, and Woo-hoo! They chose Hayley Miller. And then the Doggies, your team, Motti.
That's right.
Who'd they choose?
Jamie Lambert. We're wrapped.
And Jamie Lambert won the Susan Alberti Award.
Excellent.
Last week at the Sutton Medal. Collingwood had their first pick, and they took Nicola Stevens. And Adelaide had their first pick, and they took Ebony Marinoff. And Melbourne rounded out the first round of the women's AFL draft, and they chose Elise O'Day.
And we can't read all of them because there's another 137
right.
to go.
Yeah, but congratulations to everyone.
Yeah.
Sorry, Brie. Do you know what I found interesting is that the feeder clubs, or the, you know, Darabin Falcons.
Yeah. So no wonder they've won so many premierships.
Yeah, so many of the players have come from there. Obviously, there's some of the marquee players that had already been selected, you know, were from there. But then just a number of these, you know, top 10.
I know. They tweeted, actually, the VFL, the women's VFL on their social media tweeted today that 67 players were drafted from the women's VFL.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there were five from their reserves.
Fantastic.
League as well. So what's that? 72 players.
That's
out of 100.
Great.
100.
Half.
Half. Yep. Came from Victoria.
And so West Australia has a number of players selected West Australian teams had a number of players selected as well.
Yeah,
it's Victoria and WA, the strong women's football team. I can't wait to see the Adelaide Crows with some Northern Territory Waratahs in their list.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, and we will find out fixtures and
we will soon, won't we?
Yeah, soon.
Yep.
We'll let you all know, listeners, when we know.
Yeah.
What's happening there? Hopefully, Brisbane do better in the. In the females.
The women's competition.
Yeah, than they're currently doing the males. Yeah,
well, they've got Taylor Harris. They're bound to do better, aren't they?
And Sabrina Frederick-Traub, so they're going to have a glamour team.
People are just fleeing like, you know, rats from that club, aren't they, at the moment, unfortunately. But
all right, let's talk some more trades, Moddy.
All right. Well,
what deals are yet to be done?
Well, the Delidio stuff still.
Oh, yeah.
That's a long way from being done. There's a possibility, the Geelong discussion, but now there's little sort of whispers about that maybe he wants to have a coffee with Beveridge. Luke Beveridge
And
maybe
doggies.
Talk about the doggies. Which,
Delidio at the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I would not be unhappy with pick 18 and a player such as Nathan Rovat coming across.
Well, he wants to. Does Nathan Rovat want to go, or has his name been put forward?
I think his name, I think, you know, all fringe players that can't get a game kind of, their names get thrown up, don't they?
So it's a very exciting time for followers like us to enjoy the football. But, gee, it must be traumatic for a lot of players who are on the fringe or getting their lives moved around in such a different way. We'll have more information next week on Chicks Talking Footy, Talking Chicks, Talking Sport, Talking all sorts of things. We haven't even got to the tennis and horse racing, as these two like to talk about. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next Wednesday at 8.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.